There are so many interesting messages, actually fascinating and deeply insightful messages in the Conversations with God dialogues. But one of the messages that I found most intriguing was information that I received when I was talking about the events of life and how I normally respond to those events when they're not as happy as I would like them to be, when they have presented outcomes in my life that are not necessarily pleasant or welcome. And in the past, when those things occurred, I usually had a great resistance to them. I would push them away from me or try to somehow resist what was happening, to either stop what was happening or get out of the way of what was happening, or in some way or another resist what was happening. That rarely worked. What I found out, much to my surprise, was what I was trying to avoid was unavoidable and often became even larger in my experience. Then along came my Conversations with God encounter. And I was told in Conversations with God something very interesting and very intriguing. The statement that I was given was, what you resist persists. I had never been told that before. I'd never heard that anywhere. Now that I look back on it, it seems rather obvious to me. But at the time, it was brand new information. What you resist persists. And this is part of a larger message that I received in Conversations with God, having to do with all of the events in life and the contextual field in which we experience life itself. It has to do with what Conversations with God calls the law of opposites. And I'm going to explain that law to you in just a bit. But let me back up. Let me just back up for now and set the stage for all of this, create a foundation. The foundation for what I'm going to share with you here in this particular lesson is really very simple. It's something you already know, but let's establish it just to make sure we're all talking from the same platform, yes? All of life is about energetics. There's nothing else going on here except energy being transferred from one source to another. Everything, of course, is energy. Energy in motion. That's true about everything in life. Every physical thing and everything that we call non-physical, although there's no such thing as that which is non-physical. There's only that which is invisible. But invisible does not mean non-physical. It just means we can't necessarily see it. But it's still very physical. If you don't think that's true, by the way, put your hand into a microwave. You actually don't. That was a bad idea. But you wouldn't want to put your hand into a microwave because the microwaves are invisible does not mean that they're not physical. They're very physical. They're simply invisible. So when we talk about the energetics of life, we're talking about a force that is cohesive and a force that is present in every aspect of life, whether it's seen or unseen. So we are dealing here really in a cosmology, in a milieu, in an environment of energetics, all of its energetics. And the sooner we understand this, the easier life becomes, because then we see that really, you know, since everything is energy being transferred, all I have to do is learn about how to transfer that energy. All I have to do is really study the process of energy transfer. Is there some way that I can impact the energy that is flowing all around me and that is flowing from me and that is coming to me? Is there any way that I can play my particular role and have some interactive processing with the energy itself, the energy of life? That is what I call the alchemy of the universe. Alchemists talk in those terms. Alchemy is about changing, mixing, altering, impacting, influencing the energy flow of life itself. Energy is an interesting aspect of life. It impacts upon itself. It can be used to change itself. So energy impacts upon energy and changes energy and can even sometimes radically alter energy itself. So when we understand that energy can impact upon itself, we have learned the first heart. We've learned all about the first step in the alchemy of the universe, because we suddenly become sorcerers, almost magicians, if we discover how we can use energy to change energy, to impact energy. There are two kinds of energies that we're talking about here. What I call inner energy, the energy that's inside of us, the energy that we hold within us and that we project from us, and what I want to call outer energy, energy of the outer physical world that is coming to us and that is being created by everyone else. And at some point, there's a mixture of the two. At some point, there's a mixture of the energy that's coming to me and the energy that's coming from me. And whether that's right here or maybe a mile away or across the country or around the world, but there's some point, some place in the process where my energy begins to mix with the energy of life itself coming toward me. And that's where the magic occurs. That's where the alchemy happens. And that's where creation takes place. I've just described to you in metaphysical terms the mechanics of the universe. That place between us, that midway point between the energy coming this way and the energy going that way, that's where true creativity takes place. Now, the lesson of this particular program tells us that what you resist persists. That is, if the energy that's coming from you is resisting the energy that's coming to you, you create, at the midway point, this confluence of energy that becomes very, very heavy and very, very solid. What you resist persists, tells us that we actually increase, rather than decrease, the energy of the event, of the circumstance, of the situation, the event that we're trying to avoid. We're actually making it more real. You can't lean against a wall that's not there. See, but if you decide to lean against the wall, or if you decide to resist what's coming this way, you actually place it there. This is kind of a difficult metaphysical principle to understand until we really see how energy itself works. But when you resist what's coming this way, you actually make it more solid. You, rather than dissolving it, you tend to construct a different reality that's far more powerful than it might have been if you didn't resist it. So resistance to something is non-beneficial. It's a non-beneficial use of energy. It's like throwing fuel on a fire. It's not a good idea, because the act of resisting something actually places it there more firmly. It adds energy to the energy itself, as I was just describing. So I've learned in my life to stop resisting that which is coming to me, but rather to, how can I describe this? To embrace it, to welcome it, to allow it, because when I stop resisting it, the energy that I'm sending out does not create that obstruction, but moves through the energy that's coming in and mixes in an alchemy way, in an alchemic chemistry. The chemistry of the universe, such that I can have a greater impact upon it. The idea is not to resist what's coming this way, but to change it. Not to resist what's coming this way, but to change it. When you resist what's coming this way, you create a wall of resistance. But when you change something, you engage it differently, and you become part of it. Your energy becomes part of the energy that's coming your way, and then you can work the alchemy of magic, and you can recreate what is occurring in a way that's more pleasant or less displeasing to you. So it's important to understand, therefore, that what you resist persists, and what you look at, what you observe and see as true, you can actually make it disappear or change the form of it by deciding that you're not going to be against it. Mother Teresa gave us a wonderful example of this a few years ago. God bless her. Mother Teresa is no longer with us, as you know, but She was a walking saint on this planet. Everyone who knew her and knows of her acknowledged that. And she was asked a few years ago if she would join a war protest, a protest movement to protest against the particular conflict that was occurring in one of the countries. And she said no. She, even though she was free, she had the day open, she had the time open on her calendar, and frankly, the sponsors of this protest march were a little bit surprised, because they thought that she would surely say yes, that she would be happy to become part of this protest march, but she said, no, I will not march in protest of anything. But if you have a peace march, if you want to sponsor a march for peace, I'll be there. She understood that the way to produce the result was not to resist, not to protest against the incoming energy, but to change it and to call for what it is you would rather see in place of what it is you are seeing. I'm going to repeat that so you can really pick it up. To call for what you would rather see instead of trying to stop what you're seeing, to change it rather than to resist it. So she understood that perfectly well. So we can take a page out of her a book and learn from her example. Now, let me explain to you why certain things occur in our life that are other than what we wish was happening in our experience. I've often wondered, you know, I've asked God in my life, long before I had my actual conversation with God, I asked the universe, why is this happening? I don't understand. Why is this always going on? Why is this happening? Why am I encountering so much conflict, so much struggle, so many challenges in my life? I don't understand what's going on. And then it was explained to me that there is a particular function of the universe called the law of opposites. I never knew about that before. Once I learned about the law of opposites, I stopped resisting what was coming at me for reasons that will be very clear to you when I explain to you all about the law of opposites. The law of opposites says this. Whenever you declare anything to be true for you in your life, everything that is the opposite of that will show up in your life. It will arise from the firmament. It will materialize right in front of you. Whatever is the opposite of what you have declared or embraced or announced that you wish to be or to do or to have. Now that seems kind of cruel in a way. It's kind of like, wait a minute, what? I don't understand. What kind of a universe do I live in? Are you telling me that as soon as I have a wish, gee, I wish that this would happen, or I wish that that would happen, or I hope that this can occur, as soon as I have a hope or a wish, everything unlike it comes into my life? What kind of a world am I living in? Who wants to live in a world like that? And so when I was first told about this, I even had a little argument with God. I said, that doesn't seem fair. In that case, I won't bother wishing for anything. Because if my wishing for it brings up the opposite, how about if I just don't wish for anything? How about that? So God kind of chuckled, and she said, well, I can understand why you'd be a little bit mystified, a little bit confused about that, maybe even a little bit upset, because you really don't understand what's going on and how it's all working. But let me explain to you, she said, exactly how the universe works. You are living in the realm of the physical, which you could also call the realm of the relative. That is, where you are now existing, by the way, you are not your mind and you are not your body. We've discussed this before in previous lessons. Who you are is not this and it's not this. It's you are that which is seeing this, that which has this. You are not your body, you are that which has a body. You are not your mind, you are that which has a mind. So who you really are is an essential essence, an individuation of the only energy, here we are now with energy, who you are is an individuation of the only energy that there is. And you have used your ability to manipulate that energy to create a body and a mind as tools with which to do what you came here as an essential essence to do. Now, you've come here to the realm of physicality because this is the place where things exist relative to other things. That is, there is here, there is up and down, left and right, before and after, big and small, male and female, black and white, what we call good, what we call evil. There are opposites to everything because we live in a contextual field that contains the full breadth and scope of every experience and every expression of life. We've come to this place, to the realm of the physical, from what I'm going to call the realm of the spiritual. In the realm of the spiritual, everything exists in its absolute form. Things are absolutely what they are. And there are no opposites. There's only one thing. And that one thing expresses as the only thing it is. As I've mentioned in one of our previous lessons here, it is always in the realm of the absolute. It is always here. It is always now. And all there is love. Love here and now is all there is. That's all very lovely, except you can't experience it. You can't know what it's really like. So in order for us to know what it's really like to experience love, we would have all the time to experience love here and now all the time. The only way to experience that would be for us to know its opposite. The only way to experience the light would be to know the darkness. The only way to experience up would be to know that there's a thing called down. You know, see, and let me give you a simple example. Let's use the word temperature. Temperature is simply and condition. It's a word to describe an aspect and expression of life. But if there's only one temperature, then temperature has no meaning. The only way that temperature has a meaning is if there's hot and cold. Now suddenly there are degrees of temperature. And the word temperature suddenly has meaning to it in the concrete rather than simply in the abstract. It's that way with all of life. So what we have created in the realm of the relative are degrees of good and evil, degrees of fast and slow, hot and cold, up and down, here and there, before and after, all the terms that create the experience of relativity. And that's what's going on in the physical universe. And it's a blessing, because without the opposite of that which we choose to experience, we can't experience it. We can know it, we can understand it, but we can't experience it. And the example I like to use, and I've used it over and over, is the example of being the light. I can say that I am the light, but I can't experience myself being the light unless there's some level of darkness someplace. In the absence of darkness, the light is not experienceable. Again, it becomes a concept, simply a concept. It's a conceptualization. It's an abstraction. But to move it from abstract to concrete, to move it from a concept to experience, there must be something other than the light. And then suddenly you can be the light, and the light can shine on the darkness. The darkness is the illusion. It's an illusion that's created by us in the contextual field so that we might express and experience who we really are in any particular way. So, for instance, to give you a practical example, if I decide I'm creative, I am Neil the creative. I love being creative. Creativity is one of my favorite activities. I love having creative activities in my life, whatever it might be. But as soon as I decide that I'm really a creative person, and by the way, I really am. I actually am a very creative person. I will create problems, challenges that require creative solutions. Because if I don't create problems or challenges that require creative solutions, I can't be creative. Therefore, the person who loves to create will never become angry at the problems and challenges that arise as soon as he decides to be creative, because it is in the moment of solving those problems that person's creativity arises and becomes a force in action, to become an energetic force in action. So in the best way to change that force and turn it into action is to create an alteration of what's coming this way, not to resist it. So the opposite of what you choose to experience will show up absolutely, sometimes in the very same day, usually within a week or 10 days or a month or so, and often very rapidly. So whatever you decide I am, the opposite will show up. And as it shows up, it creates an opportunity for you to meet it head on, not resist it, but to meet it head on, and then to alter it, to change the alchemy of the incoming energy in such a way that the process of life produces the opportunity for you to create the outcome for which you have yearned and which you have desired. Now, I want to share with you one final part of this process. The magic of understanding that what you resist persists and that what you look at disappears, the magic of that is invoked. You can actually engage the magic of that, like a magician who creates wonderful tricks, wonderful illusions. Magicians work with illusions, of course, and we're talking here about illusion too, because the opposite is an illusion. See, the darkness is the illusion. The light is the reality and the darkness is the illusion. But the illusion seems very real. It seems very real. And it's designed to seem real. The challenges, the problems for a creative person are designed to feel very real so that you can engage, really and deeply engage all of the energetics of being a deeply creative and dynamic person. So resist not evil. Resist not evil. Don't resist what's coming your way, but actually engage it in a way that changes and alters the enemy and the energy and the enemy for that matter, and allows you to reproduce it, to recreate it in a brand new way that more firmly demonstrates who and what you are and who and what you choose. And the way to do that is to join with what's occurring, to go with the flow rather than resisting it. To go with the flow and move with the energy that's coming your way and become one with it. And sometimes you can even duplicate it in an interesting way. For instance, let me give you a practical example. If I'm having money problems and I'm having some real financial challenges and it feels like there's not enough money in my life, there's just not enough money. I'm just running out of money and I don't see any more money coming in soon and there's not enough money and you know, I need more money and I'm really having a financial challenge. We've all had moments like that in our lives. If I'm having one of those moments, you know what the best thing I could do? The best thing that is that I could do? Give whatever money I do have away. That seems so counterintuitive. It's just the opposite of what people do. When people have very little money and they think they're running out of money, they start hoarding it, or whatever it might be, food or money or energy or even love. When we think that we are running short of something, we start hoarding what it is that think that we're running short of. When just the opposite is what unleashes the creative energy that alters the incoming experience and shifts it and changes it. And I'll tell you why, for instance. So, now let's imagine that I think that I'm running out of money. The fastest way for me to change the energetic, to change the energetic signature, to change my thought that I don't have enough money, is to give it to somebody else. Go down the street, walk through your town, and find somebody who has less money than you do. You won't have to go far. A few blocks. You'll find somebody, usually very quickly. Sometimes it's a street person, somebody who's actually living on the street because they have no place to live. But you'll find somebody who has less money right now than you do, even though you think you have very little, you think you're running out, you can easily find someone who has even less. When you find someone who has even less, give them some of what little you have. Now, why would you do that? Because it sets up an energetic signature. How can I put this philosophically? It tells the universe what you feel is true about you, and the universe will always mirror, it will always reflect back to you exactly what you tell it is true for you. That is, what you say to the universe says back to you. So when you start giving your money away, even though you think you have very little and you're running out of money, what you're saying to the universe is, I have enough. I actually have enough. In fact, I have so much, I can actually give some of it to somebody else. This is a demonstration of my highest truth. My lowest truth is, oh my gosh, I'm running out of money. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. But the highest truth is, you know what? I do have enough. I have so much that I can actually give it to somebody else. And the universe goes, we get it. We get it. And the universe begins to supply you with the experience that you have supplied it. You have shown the universe that you have enough, and the universe then shows you that you have enough. The universe is just a copying machine. Do you understand that? The universe is like a duplicating machine. It's like a Xerox machine. It actually duplicates and sends through the machinery exactly what you put into it. Whatever you put in is what comes out magnified. That's how alchemists have understood for centuries how to use the energy of the universe. That's why all the great spiritual masters have said, what you resist persists. So if you think you don't have enough money, don't resist it. In fact, just change it. And change it by demonstrating exactly the opposite of what it is that you were experiencing. I can give you another example in the field of health. There was a French philosopher, a doctor, named Émile Coué, who lived during the First World War. And he created a process that he called auto-suggestion. Very powerful process. And most people have heard about the process of Émile Coué. What he did was, during the First World War, he went to the army tents of the injured soldiers, soldiers who had been injured in battle. And he told them, I don't want you to resist. Don't say no to this. Don't say no. Don't resist it. Don't do this. Do this. Engage it. Accept the fact that you have been wounded, that you're not doing well, that you are physically in bad shape. But I want you to rather than resist it, rather than saying, I don't want this, I don't want this, stop this, stop this, stop this. Instead of saying that, I want you to say this. Every day, in every way, I get better and better. Very famous statement from Émile Coué. Every day, in every way, I get better and better. And he told his soldiers who were in the hospital tent to say that 100 times a day. In the morning, in the afternoon, and before going to sleep at night. Every day, in every way, I get better and better. In other words, tell the universe what you choose rather than what you don't choose. Did you get the switch? See, don't tell the universe what you don't want. Tell the universe what you want. When you say to the universe what you don't want, you're doing this. When you tell the universe what you want, you elevated the energy and you're doing this. You're engaging it and becoming part of it. And then you say to the universe, yes, this is true. This is what's happening, but I'm not resisting it. I'm engaging it and changing it through the very process of my engagement. That's the magic of life. When you understand that power, when you understand the opportunity to create that the world has given you, your whole life can shift overnight. So stop resisting the law of opposites. When the opposite arises, when you declare something to be your desire, and the opposite of that desire starts showing up, welcome it. Ah, my good friend, the opposite. Welcome. Come on in. Come on in. This is wonderful. I receive the opportunity here to engage in the process of creating what I really want. Because in the absence of this, without this darkness, I got no opportunity to experience what I really want to experience. So, welcome and be grateful for, actually be grateful for the opposite of what it is that you chose to express and experience. And in that moment of gratitude, you will demonstrate to the universe that you understand exactly what's going on and why it's occurring. This is fundamental metaphysics, basic metaphysical mechanics. And it can change your life virtually overnight. What you resist persists, so resist not ever again.